This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
It's the Hoffman Show live from Capital One Arena here about, 2 hours from tip-off between the Wizards and the San Antonio Spurs. Victor Wembanyama in the house tonight, so we figured we'd be in the house tonight. Hopefully looking forward to seeing some of y'all on the way down here. We're outside section 106-107 if you want to come say hello. The only ground rule is don't say hello during the show. Wait till a commercial break. Like, you can wave, be like, hey, hi, but no, during the show, Anthony, I'm trying to do the show, and my ADD is very bad. And we can't have people talking to me during the show. Otherwise, Metal Chris will have to stick on him. And that can get scary for folks. Yeah, he's the muscle over there. You couldn't see it on the camera, but he held up a fist and was like, I'll
boy, I oughta.
Yeah, boy, I oughta give you a knuckle sandwich. Anyway, apropos of none of that, it is the Hoffman Show. We are live on the Team 980. We're also live on YouTube at the Team 980. Yes, we will be compiling a YouTube short, a TikTok, an Instagram reel of the absolute insanity that just happened while Meg McDonald was here, and Anthony thought that he had video of him making a kick, sent the actual video only to reveal that he missed said kick. I cannot wait to see what we do with that in the old social department, Anthony.
Yeah, I mean, I thought memory served me correctly, Craig, and I was sadly mistaken, and yeah. that's what happened. But I will say, if you've never been to the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta, it actually is a pretty cool little exhibit that they have down there.
Yeah, I've heard the College Football Hall of Fame is actually awesome. I also know that, like, I think if I tee it up from 15 yards, and pretty sure I can make a field goal from like the 15 yard line. Yeah. And you have the 10 yards of the end zone. That's a 25 yard field goal. I feel pretty good about my ability to do that.
Yeah.
I'm a good enough all-around athlete. But again, like, once we get out to the 30, 35, like, no, that's, I don't feel far. Great about that.
Yeah.
Like, I've done enough kicking of a ball recently where, like, when I go work, like, Ashley Hatch's soccer camps, like, I can play a ball.
Okay.
And that's a soccer ball.
Yeah, I got to say, I got to see it, Craig, though. We still got to do the 40.
We do.
They didn't have the 40 at the College Football Hall of Fame. They did have the vertical jump.
They have those at, like, the NFL experience situations. And you, like, run into the pad at the end. But I want to get a proper warm-up in and really see what happens if I let it.
I'm going to need, like, a 30-minute warm-up before I run it.
If I know a guy who can help us get warmed up, it's me. I'm the guy.
There it is.
Yeah, so we'll figure that out. The field out behind my house. We just got to pick a good weather day.
And when is the combine?
I leave on Tuesday the 25th, I think it is, 25th or the 26th, whatever that Tuesday is.
Do you think it's going to be cold?
In Indy or here?
Oh, I guess here I was more so thinking, but it's going to be cold there as well.
Yeah, no, it'll be cold there as well. I mean, let's check the weather real quick. We'll get back to the Super Bowl in a second. By the way, we're also going to take your – I probably should have said this before Anthony and I got distracted. But 301-230-0980, your take on the Super Bowl, the thing that you think is most important from the game, whether that's just the game itself, the history that was not made, for instance, could be something that you want to chime in on, what it means for the Commanders when you watch that game. Do you feel better or worse about Washington? 301-230-0980. There's some random warm days coming, but not many of them. Tell you where I want to run mine. I'm going to Phoenix next week. I want to run my 40 out in Phoenix because it's warm there.
Yeah, it's going to be way better temperature out there. So
yeah, so I might just throw a stopwatch in and be like, Rachel, need you to time me, and then you can run it in the cold here. And sorry to your hamstrings, but Anthony, I that is something that I couldn't stop thinking about last night. Watching that game is like, man, the Commanders, like, tomorrow I want to talk more specifically about whether we thought they could have beaten the Chiefs, but like, everyone kind of talked about Washington in a way that they were lucky to be there, right? Oh, they're lucky they made the NFC Championship game. What a run. You should be proud. And I think you can pretty safely say that after week six, after the Eagles' Week 5 bye, did any team play Philadelphia, the ultimate Super Bowl champions, better than Washington?
I mean, I would say the Rams, because the play Jalen Carter made to basically seal the game for the Eagles, if he doesn't beat the guard and center and, like, come unfree, there's a wide-open touchdown to Puka Nacua, who was on, like, a reverse zig. But outside of that, I think we played them the best, to be honest.
And you played them three times. So the Eagles, remember, they opened the season in Sao Paulo. They beat the Packers. They then lose to the Falcons in week two by one. Kirk Cousins and the Falcons. Oh, what a weird, long NFL season it was. They beat the Saints 15-12 at New Orleans in week three. They lose 33-16 to the Bucks in week four. They only beat the Browns by four in week five. They then have their bye. They come out and they smash the Giants. They beat the Bengals by 20. They play a tight game against the Jags. Smash the Cowboys, 34-6. Commanders, they had that Thursday night game, 26-18, where Washington's got the lead going into the fourth quarter. They beat the pants off the Rams. They beat Baltimore in a tighter game. This is also where Jalen's knee was a little banged up in the middle. They play Carolina close, and then they come out, they whip the Steelers. Their only loss since week five was to Washington, 36-33. They smashed the Cowboys again, 41-7. They beat the Giants at home to close the regular season, 20-13. So after week five, when they had their bye, there was one team that beat the Philadelphia Eagles. One. And it was Washington. And they played them three times. And in the first matchup, Washington held the lead going into the fourth quarter. Two Saquon runs later, Washington loses. Second time, despite five turnovers, Washington beats them. And then they obviously turn it over four more times and don't really give themselves a chance. Although that game was like, it was closer for longer than you'd think. Mm-hmm. And then it got really, really sideways at the end. But, like, there was a point in the second half where you're like, man, if they can get a score and a stop, and then the Eckler fumble happens and it's all over. But yeah. That, like, most – Baltimore played them close. There's a couple other teams that played them close. Washington probably played Philadelphia better than anyone else. And I think that's something that the Commanders can – like, you don't get a trophy. I'm not saying go print little mini Lombardis and be like, played the Eagles close. Like, you don't get anything for that other than, like, the pride. And then I think looking at it objectively from an analysis seat, like, that's awesome. I think that's great. Like, let's take that into the offseason for next year. But, like, I think that is something that not only when you think about the accomplishments, if you will, of this season, only team to beat Philly post bye, but if you think about, okay, now everyone's going to have to gear themselves to beat this Philadelphia team, is Washington arguably closer to being able to do that than any other team certainly a division, if not the conference, if not the entire league.
Yeah, I think even when you look at yesterday's game, I think the Eagles generate two turnovers.
Yeah, they picked off Mahomes twice, yeah. Bond and DeJean.
Yeah, so I think even if you take away those turnovers, like, the game was still, like, dominated by the Eagles. And yeah. I think with the Commanders, you took away turnovers, and it's a way more competitive game. We just had, you know, the right approach. Jaden knew what to do. He's very quick, very decisive in his decision-making. And I think that's just awesomely the difference in this game. And I think that's sort of kind of what made Philly so good this year, the fact that just turned teams over at a very extremely high rate. And I think they said yesterday that plus 12 was the best, you know, turnover margin for any team to win a Super Bowl. So I think you just got to take your hats off to that Eagles defense, just because all season long they've proved that they've been able to, you know, take the ball away. And that's how they were able to win games.
For sure. And that's the thing, is when people be like, oh my God, the Commanders beat themselves, they have four turnovers. It's like, yeah, I mean, there's a couple of those, especially where I think Eckler and Diami make decisions where you're just like, don't double back, Diami, just get up the field and dive, bro. And then Eckler just like, stay down, man. But you have to credit the Eagles for creating that those turnovers. Like, the way they attack the football is something that clearly they practice. You could see it yesterday. They didn't, you know, they get the two picks, but like, they're scraping at the ball. They knocked it out of Mahomes' hand another time and he fell on it.
Yep.
Like, they get after the ball in a way that, like, if I'm Dan Quinn, I'm showing a lot of Eagles tape, be like, guys, this is what we want as our standard. We can do this. And so some of it is the interceptions and the way they play their zones and the man match stuff, and like, they're just incredible. But the fumbles that they force, the collisions that they cause, like, it is a feature, not a happy accident of their defense that is what it is. And so I think that if you're Washington as well, knowing that going in to next year, you definitely are like, hey, guys, when we play Philadelphia, our ball security, our ball control, like, hey, guys, we're in the coach settings in Madden. We've put ball carrier on conservative. Like, we're not out here trying to do too much because otherwise you're not going to give yourself a shot. And the thing is, this Philly team is so talented that if you give them extra possessions, if they've got eight possessions and you've got six, like, you're not going to win the football game. You can't overcome that kind of deficit. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. We'll keep this conversation going and get you involved in it. 301-230-0980 next on The Hoffman Show.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At the halfway point of our show, coming up in about 15 minutes, we're really closer to halfway now because we're on until 6:45 tonight, live at Capital One Arena, ahead of Wizards and Spurs, so pregame 6:45. But typically the halfway point of our show is 5:30, and that feels like an appropriate point for us to talk about the halftime show last night. So we will talk about what Kendrick Lamar did last night, coming up at 5:30. We will talk to Dave Johnson at 6. And I can't remember what we're doing the rest of the show. We're talking about the Super Bowl. It's Monday after Super Bowl. Sports Talk Radio Show. What do you think we're doing? We're talking about the Super Bowl. And Anthony, we were just talking about the pressure that the Eagles were able to get on the Chiefs. And you brought up a really good point in the break about how that kind of reframes what you think about the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, definitely. I think all season long, a lot of people were, you know, given or complaining about the Commanders' offensive line and, you know, us not giving Jaden time. And I feel as though, after looking at yesterday's game, we need to be applauding, giving those guys a pass on the back, because Jaden had more than enough time to, you know, be able to, you know, decipher what he was seeing, step up in the pocket a few times. But yesterday, oh, my gosh, they were getting home in like 1.5 seconds. Mahomes had nothing to do. He couldn't back up. He couldn't step up into the pocket. So I just think, I mean, yes, there's room to improve on our offensive line, but at the same token, it's just I want to take a step back and, you know, give our guys, you know, a pat on the back, just because he had a little bit more time than Patty, I would say.
No, he definitely did, and actually I can look this up specifically because thanks to the Next Gen Stats time to throw stat, like, I can tell you literally how much time that they had to throw each. In the NFC Championship game, Jaden's time to throw. Well, actually, this isn't necessarily a great measure in terms of pressures and whatever, but I'll give you a couple stats. Time to throw is 2.7 seconds, but that's not necessarily like how much time he had to throw. That's how much time till he did. Pat, 3.07. For reference, Jalen in the Super Bowl, Jalen Hurts, 3.37 seconds to throw. So that's your average time to throw. So it tells you that Jaden was able to get the ball out faster than Pat was, which is also probably why Jaden had a 25.5% pressure percentage. He was pressured 14 times on 48 dropbacks, where Pat, 38.1%, 16 pressures on 32 dropbacks, which I realize 16 divided by 32 is 50, but I don't know how that math exactly works. I think it takes out some of some other stuff. Well, I guess not every single dropback winds up in an attempt. So that counts sacks, that counts throwaways, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, 38.1% QB pressure percentage on
42 total dropbacks. Mahomes ultimately gets 32 attempts off in those 42 dropbacks, and thus your 38.1 pressure percentage. Jaden, again, 14 quarterback pressures on 50-something dropbacks. He had 48 attempts in the NFC Championship game. But, like, I'm of two minds on this, Anthony. One, I agree with you. We should not overstate how bad the Commanders' offensive line was when it wasn't. Like, this is another supposedly solid offensive line that I know the Chiefs, again, have been banged up. They've had some issues at left tackle, but, you know, they've got a great coach. They've got a quarterback who's supposed to be able to avoid it, and it just hasn't been a problem for them all year. It was against the Eagles. But at the same time, I don't want to understate what that means moving forward. Like, this Eagles team is probably going to lose Josh Sweat and Milton Williams, but, like, mm-hmm. they're probably still going to be one of the best defensive lines in football.
Yep.
And if this is what it takes to win a championship, then, yeah, upgrading your offensive line is going to be a priority for this team. And, you know, unfortunately, one of the guys that's going to be one of the great dudes available in free agency, I don't want to downgrade this guy off of one game, but, like, Trey Smith is the top free agent available. He's the right guard for the Chiefs, who Jalen Carter had a pretty decent day against.
Man, yeah, he had a huge day. But also, it just speaks volumes to that D-line. So reinforcements up front all across the board, and then just, you know, knowing how to combat what Philly is trying to, you know, take away from you. I mean, it's easier said than done. Like, it truly is, and I think even Friday when we were talking about the game, we were talking about, you know, it being a chess match, you know, Kansas City being able to, you know, dink and dump, and that's what they did. I mean, that's what they weren't able to do yesterday. Vic Fangio and the Eagles, they did a great job just sitting on all the short routes, not allowing them to, you know, hit Kelsey for a quick hitch or, you know, anybody out of the backfield. It was just too much for them to overcome, to be honest.
I'm really surprised at the lack of RPOs. Like, if you need to be able to put Bond specifically, but Bond, DeJean, Burks, those guys in conflict, to not do that with something that directly targets them to put them in conflict seems like a missed opportunity. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know more about football than Andy Reid. I'm sure he had a good reason why he chose the game plan that he did. It didn't work, so it's easy to be like, and with the benefit of hindsight, hey, Andy, don't you wish you would have done something else? Yeah, of course I would, says the one of the greatest winners that the sport has ever seen. But by the same token, like, that was a formula that worked some for Washington, and it would have worked obviously better had they not fumbled the freaking football. But it's not like Washington punted a bunch, and I think that was the other thing. And then, you know, the other thing that this kind of brings up of is a universal truth about football. You think of all these teams that we're talking about in terms of who the Eagles are in company with: 2013 Seahawks, the 2000 Ravens. Like, they had outstanding pass rush. Specifically, I think of that 2013 Seahawks team with DQ, right? Outstanding pass rush without blitzing. The 07 Giants, the ones that beat Brady,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, the 18-1 Patriots. Yeah, it was 07-08 season. So that Giants team, notoriously, like, famous for having a deep crew, to use DQ's term, deep crew that gets home with four, right? It was the Justin Tuck, Michael Strahan, OCU Manura, like, all them dudes.
Oh.
And, like, if you can do that, that simple, when there's 11 guys on the field, if you can add just one more body to coverage and not lose your ability to get pressure, it is arguably the biggest defensive game changer in the sport. And in the NFC Championship game, they blitzed Jaden Daniels 12.5% of the time. In the Super Bowl, they blitzed Patrick Mahomes 0% of the time.
Big fat zero.
Which is crazy. And I think it's not only having the extra body in coverage, but the best quarterbacks in the league. And this is something that Jalen deserves a lot of credit for, too, by the way, because he was really bad against the blitz, and he was so much better this year. Kellen Moore gets credit for this, and it's something that the new Eagles OC is going to have to figure out. Like, that was the biggest gripe about, you know, when what Sirianni and Brian Johnson were running last year, and a lot of people put this on Sirianni, is that they didn't give Jalen Hurts answers against the blitz. Kellen Moore did. And it was just a small tweak in their offense. And then you add, obviously, the Saquon supercharger, but it was still, like, a very run-heavy offense last year. But you've got to have answers against the blitz. You've got to have a quarterback who can beat it. But I think the next level of that is what guys traditionally like Pat and Jaden do, which is if you blitz, I kill you. I see where that blitz is coming from. I know where I need to slide my protection. I get it picked up, and I know where the ball needs to go. And you don't expose that weakness. There's no risk if you don't blitz. And so you get to play no risk, high reward, because you're that good with your four-man pressure. And, like, if I'm Washington, I'm just going, thank God Williams and Sweat are going to go, and you hope that the decrease in personnel is good enough or is enough, plus whatever additions you make on the O-line to be better than them next year. Because if not, like, there's no real solution. Like, I saw a great post last night. Someone was like, I think it might have been Bill Barnwell, was like, I don't know what the Andy Reid adjustment for they're better at us than at every position is. And that's kind of how the rest of the league is looking at this Eagles team right now. Is like, well, bleep, if they're this good everywhere, like, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. And even going back to, like, what you were talking about on the defensive line, we talk about Milton Williams, you know, having an impact yesterday in the NFC title game. It was Jordan Davis. And I don't think Jordan Davis played that much yesterday. I didn't hear his name.
He was in there at some point because I saw him dancing. Yeah, Very large man.
Yeah, he didn't have all that big of an impact. He wasn't playing that much. Milton Williams, Jalen Carter, they were wreaking havoc all games. And the fact that they had a lead, they were just able to, you know, peel their ears back and just go, man. They were going.
I told you this stat in the break, and now we've come full circle. I can say it on the air because I've remembered, and you've reminded me. Zero times with the ball in their hands in this game did Chiefs running backs run 10 miles an hour.
My goodness.
So they never got started to the point, this is per Next Gen Stats, they never got started to the point that they accelerated to 10 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's...
That is insane. Mahomes had two runs where he got up to 15-plus. Nobody on Kansas City running the football that was a running back even got to 10 miles an hour in this game. Crazy. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. When we get back, do we have calls, Anthony?
Yeah, we got a couple of calls.
All right, tell you what. Let's do this. Let's do calls next. 5:45, I want to talk about Kendrick and the halftime show that was freaking outstanding. And then we will talk to Dave Johnson about the Wizards. We're live at Capital One Arena at 6 here on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're going to take some calls here, and then we will get to our chat about the halftime show here at about 5:45, so about 15 minutes away. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Our Team 980 listener line is 301-230-0980. Taking your calls on the Super Bowl. Let's start off with Kelly. Kelly, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, thanks, man. Hey, just two observations. I think Philly defense made Kansas City look old and slow really quickly. And their front four was outstanding. They're really well coached. They're disciplined. And I think Washington fans should take solace in the fact that our team gave them everything they wanted. If we play a clean game, you know, who knows what can happen. I think the only thing you can really do with that team is make them defend for 10, 11, 12 play drives and have a quarterback that is a threat to extend plays and make plays with his legs. I mean, you got to get the ball out quick. You got to play a clean game, and you have to make that defense, like you like to say, you have to threaten them with multiple things they have to do. But, hey, hats off to Philly. They're the standard, and it's good that we know what we got to build in order to get to the next level.
For sure. Thanks for the call, Kelly. And I think the thing you have to do, to put it in a slightly different way, just to try to explain it even further, is, like, you have to create space, because the way that Philly plays, they just are suffocating. They take the air completely out of your defense. And or of your offense. There's just nowhere to go. The windows are really tight. The running lanes are really tight. So how do you loosen them up? How do you threaten different areas of the field? How do you create matchups? And Kansas City was just really stagnant in a kind of bizarre way yesterday, where I think Washington did a better job of, let's use this little bit of motion, or let's use a formation to challenge their rules. Let's bunch guys up over here and see, can they sort out their match rules against a bunch? Can we, if we put Zach Ertz in a weird place, create a matchup that we like either for him or someone else? Let's move Terry around a little bit like they did in that second matchup. Put him in the slot. Let's get him out on a certain guy and, you know, challenge, know that we have this slant and know that, hey, all right, this slant route against Darius Slay, like, Slay's going to play this well, but our guy's Terry McLaurin, and that thing, you know, he's breaking a tackle and going for a touchdown. In the run game, can you use the quarterback run element? That was another thing that I was really surprised about. Why didn't they run Mahomes at all? Like, I guess they were, things were kind of getting out of hand quickly, but, I mean, that whole first half, why do you not run Patrick Mahomes? Have him pull a read option just to loosen things up. See what happens. Because I think that's something where Jaden, you know, they shut it down pretty well, did Philly, for the most part. Now, him as a scrambler running is a different story. But design quarterback runs, they did pretty well. But it just gives them something else to think about. It holds that linebacker for an extra half second so that the next time he pulls it, he can throw the RPO slant. You know, challenge the perimeter with some screens. Kansas City's one of the best screen teams for the last decade. I mean, Andy Reid, for 30 years, has been the best screen coach in the league probably. They tried like one, and it got blown up. Pat had to dirt it, and it's an illegal man downfield penalty that just gets declined. Where was the wide receiver screen game? Where's the running back screen game? Like, it just felt like Kansas City was really stagnant and really unimaginative. I mean, they always have something. They didn't try a trick play yesterday. They always have something in the Super Bowl, and it's something that I think that if you're Cliff and you're watching and you're thinking about how do I beat this team next year, those types of things are things that are already a part of your package as an OC, and leaning into them more against a team like Philly is probably the best way to go. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Ford. Ford, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Greg, how are
What's
you?
Up, Ford? I'm good. How are you?
Hey, good, buddy. Good. Hey, a couple comments about yesterday, then I have a question for you. I really think the game was over. I view it as a 40-6 game. You know, I think the last two scores were just garbage. So, that helps me anyway take a little bit of the sting out of the NFC Championship game, because I'm very proud of our guys, and we played them much tougher than anybody else has played them. And I was also kind of in a, at the same time, the Eagles winning made me feel, and us getting to the championship game, and it brought back some NFC East pride, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
I think all roads now go through the NFC East, mainly Philly at the moment. And with that, I'll segue into my question. Do you think, yesterday's game impacts AP? You know, as far as is he going to become more aggressive or change his view on what to focus on, in free agency in the draft, or is he going to stay maybe a kind of sort of predetermined course, or what are your views on the impact that he may have had on AP and his future?
Ford, thanks for the call as always, man. Appreciate it. Always thoughtful. And I have been thinking about this quite a bit. And I think the answer is yesterday probably didn't teach Adam Peters anything. It just strengthened views that he probably already had. I think he knows that he's got to beat Philadelphia, that this team is young, this team is good. I got to play him twice a year. I got to play him to get out of my conference to even get to the Super Bowl. So before I think about building a team that can beat a Lamar, a Burrow, a Mahomes, a Josh Allen, the AFC's top guys, if you want to throw Stroud in there as a two-time in 2 year division winner as well, that we think will probably be better and return to a better performance overall next year in the Texans, sure. But like those quarterback driven teams, right? I think you know that in the NFC, he's got the team that he built out in San or helped build out in San Francisco that's lurking, that is probably on the downside, but was a physical football team. And a lot of teams were built to beat them. And the Lions are built that way. Their lines of scrimmage are fantastic. Aiden Hutchinson will return for Detroit next year. And then you have this Philly team that's the class of all of it. This Philly team that is nasty on both lines of scrimmage. I mean, even teams like Minnesota, like they spent money on Grenard. They've got some first rounders up front. Like, Kevin cares about the lines of scrimmage. He knows how important that is. Questy, their GM. So whether it's teams that are the Vikings and Packers level or the Lions and the Eagles level, you have to be able to protect the quarterback and get after the quarterback if you're going to succeed in the NFC. That's how these teams are built. And there's talent all over the field. Now, they have a bit of a zig where a lot of other teams are zagging in that they have the best quarterback in the conference. That's helpful. But I think yesterday just proved something that we kind of already knew about the Eagles, how good their roster is, the depth, etc., versus it teaching some. I mean, sure, there's things you can learn from the game specifically, but I don't think it introduced any new ideas. Let's wrap up with Gary in Upper Marlboro. Gary, thanks for calling. As always, you are on the Hoffman Show.
Hi, Craig. How are you? Hope things are well. I think that Super Bowl went the way that I thought it was going to go. Not a blowout. I thought Philly was going to win because I think they had the better roster. They have been playing well all year. Kansas City has kind of been winning with, smoke and mirrors for a lot of the season. And I just think that they showed that they have elite talent all over the field. And that's the team that Adam Peters, like you said, two times a year and potentially in the playoffs, that's the team that you have to try to bridge the gap on. And unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen in one offseason. I think that Adam Peters has to still be measured in his approach on how he's going to fulfill the talent on his team. I don't agree with going out and necessarily spending a bunch of money on Sweat. I think he's a good player, but as long as you play him like he's a good, pay him like he's a good player and not a great player, then go after him. But I think that, we got 28 free agents and got $70-80 million. That's a lot of money, but that's a lot of free agents. So I think that he needs to, when he's identifying free agents, hopefully he's looking at free agents that can help him, help them beat Philadelphia going forward.
So, for sure. Yeah, Gary, I agree. And yeah, thanks for the call. And that's a good point that Gary made. I'll just add more context. This is not disagreeing or going against the grain of what Gary said. Like, I do think that I think of it more as closer to $100 million because I do think John Allen will eventually get cut. That's going to be another 20. But still then, you're talking about 29 players on your roster. If Gary's number of 28 free agents is right, you cut John. That's 29 players that you have to re-sign or replace. Some of that will happen with your draft picks. Some of that might happen with guys that are already in-house that you signed a futures contracts, guys that were on the practice squad this year, etc. But at the end of the day, like, they have a lot of holes to fill. That said, that wouldn't stop me from going after a guy like Myles Garrett because anybody you draft, if they were to eventually turn into Myles Garrett, that would be an absolute dream come true. But if you can just have the thing that you want right now, especially because you're trying to be competitive right now, you should take that thing right now, especially if it doesn't sacrifice. Like, I mean, one thing if Miles was like, I'm coming for one season and then I'm going to retire. But that's not how this would work. And so I think that they're going to have to draft really well. They're going to have to be smart in free agency. I would hope that guys like Bobby come back on very similar deals to last year. But at the end of the day, it's a lot of stuff that you got to get done. There's a lot of moving pieces. But the foundation in Washington is as strong as you can possibly have it because you have a central pillar in Jaden Daniels to build around. And that is, again, especially on a rookie contract, the most valuable piece you can have in the entire sport. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. When we get back, Kendrick Lamar, halftime. That was art. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And it's time now to talk about the one-act play that was Kendrick Lamar last night at the Super Bowl halftime show. And, Anthony, like, pure offense Super Bowl halftime is more performance than art. there's always going to be artful pieces to it. And ironically, I think one of the best art pieces that's happened in the last couple of years prior to what Kendrick did last night was Kendrick when he was a part of the Beyonce halftime. And obviously when Beyonce showed up a couple of years ago, like Beyonce's always has a huge artistic storytelling element. And what I mean specifically between like performance and art is like if you go and see I don't know, the Chainsmokers or someone who's just like, I'm here to throw on a party. Like, they can have a great performance and, like, people can have a great time. Art is when you're telling a story as well, and there is a larger purpose, and it is often holding up a mirror to society. And Kendrick was the right guy, to put it lightly, and to play off of the performance and some of the choices that he made, the right guy for the moment. And I think that there's no way to talk about this without talking about the political moment that we're in. There's no way to talk about this without talking about where we are as a country, where we are as a world, the things that we value, the things that we don't, the hypocrisy that is at play all around us. And I think before we even, I'm not going to get too deep into any of those because ultimately, like, I don't have time to do it proper justice. There's plenty of great pieces explaining a lot of the symbolism that happened and all that that are out there on the internet from people that are much smarter than me and study this stuff. But, like, that's the point, right? Like, we talk about stuff that's a feature, not a bug. Like, the fact that he was like, I want y'all to talk about this is the point. Having Samuel L. Jackson play Uncle Sam and the questions that are asked in that performance, the interior push and pull and tug at Kendrick as a famous black man in America, literally standing in the middle of a divided American flag, like that, the depth of which he demands all of us to examine everything is just so next level good. That it's just hard to describe. I certainly can't do it succinctly here. And also the fact that that is who he is every time he produces a piece of art.
Every single time.
It's hard to put into words, like, truly, other than, like, actually, it's not that hard to put into words. He's the greatest of all time at that thing, at the ability, certainly within the rap genre, to say, I am going to tell a story. I'm going to demand that we ask ourselves of these questions as a society. I'm going to challenge, frankly, a lot of white people to ask questions about stuff, to see the black experience in America. And nobody better than Kendrick Lamar. And the fact that he did that at the freaking Super Bowl where, like, oh, you can't do that. It's too controversial. You can't be popular. Like, people that are telling on themselves to be like, oh, why couldn't they pick someone more popular? Oh, you mean more popular than the guy that just won the Grammy for record and song of the year? The guy that would be more popular than a 9-time Grammy winner? To be more popular than the guy that the NFL picked to perform at the Super Bowl at halftime? It doesn't get more popular than that. That's the point.
Yeah, I think there were, you know, two groups of people that, you know, chose to really embrace, you know, what message was being sent at the Super Bowl. And then there were some people that were sort of kind of being stubborn, not really wanting to, like, understand, all right, what's going on? Why is he saying this? You know, the purpose behind the act in the first place. And I'm one of those people that thoroughly just enjoy, like, being able to resonate with some of the stuff that he was getting at, because I too am a black man in America. Like, some of the struggles he endures, like, I endure. So there's that relatability, but also just that aside, I think there's just a bigger message and a bigger picture that he was getting at, and it just went over some people's heads, and it's sad. Granted, I do understand.
It's a lot to digest. Like, I'll give people that. Like, especially if you're not familiar with his work, like, you're going to need to read three think pieces. What I would just tell anybody listening who is like, I don't know, like, I, it just wasn't for me. Like, I'm not telling you you have to be like, oh, that's my new favorite artist. But, like, go read a piece. Mm-hmm. Go understand, like, what you watched was not a musical performance.
Yeah,
it was,
I think
it
that's
was musical
what people
theater.
Come for.
Right. And I get that. Like, yeah, was that one fair. Of the 5 or 10 best pure entertainment grade halftime performances that have been had? Like, the way Beyonce was, the way that Prince was, right? Like, it can be something recent, it can be something previous. Like, sure, okay, fine. You can say that it was simple. I don't know if you saw T-Pain's reaction video.
No, I haven't seen it.
It was so funny because he's like, I always thought, like, I couldn't put together a set for, like, would you ever do Super Bowl halftime? No, I can't put together a set like that. And he's like, maybe I can, because if you got bangers like that, you don't have to do a million different things. I mean, like, mm-hmm. there was so much symbolism in the sets, and it wasn't like it was simple and there was nothing to it, but it wasn't this pyro, fireworks, a million things. Like, it was simple. The point was what he was saying and the story. And for that, like, no, the entertainment value was not as high as some of the other ones, like when Bruno did it. But from a just an artistic performance to appreciate what was happening,
yep.
like that man put on a 13-minute play about America at the Super Bowl in front of the sitting president, who was a part of that story and not necessarily as a hero. And when I say not necessarily, that's me being far kinder than is reality. He's not in that story as a hero. And to do that, first of all, it takes guts. And Kendrick is, he's got guts. But then also, I think the thing that I've seen a lot from a bunch of really smart people that I respect a ton is, like, everyone obviously is like, Not Like Us is about Drake. And Drake died his 18,000th death yesterday in this feud. And by the way, J. Cole, salute to you, sir. My man's got out at the right time.
Yeah, he's a smart
at the
man.
Beginning. He's like, I'm good here. Like, he saw where that was going.
Yep.
So you have that element, like the Drake element as well, but it's not just, and like him smiling, by the way, at the camera when he says, hey, Drake, that was chef's kiss. Can't do it better.
Yeah.
The haters, hater aids on 10. But that song's actually about a lot more than Drake. It's about people who appropriate culture and you know, who will dip in specifically to black culture just to try to make a quick buck. And even though Drake is half black, he's like, nah, you're not a colleague, you're a colonizer. And, like, that is not just about Drake. And so, to again, just to be like, no, I'm gonna say this to America with the biggest possible audience that exists on television. But might have been 100 million people watching that. Like, salute to you, Kendrick Lamar. Because you don't take the check, right? Because the NFL doesn't pay for Super Bowl halftime. Mm-hmm. It's like you get the honor of doing Super Bowl halftime. But there's a lot of people that would have been like, all right, I'm just going to go perform some songs off the Black Panther album. And, you know, that middle section, which, if it's not done in the context in which they provide of, like, this is what America wants, to draw that contrast of, like, the palatable version of him, if you will, for mass appeal, there's a lot of people that just would have done 12 minutes of that and been like, yep, cool, let's see if we can sell some albums. That's not why Kendrick Lamar makes music. And we got the full why Kendrick Lamar makes music yesterday, and it was awesome. And again, there's a ton of great pieces out there that can explain some of the symbolism and things. If you're more interested, highly recommend checking those out. And salute to Kendrick on an all-timer yesterday. All right, we get back. Dave Johnson joins us live here at Capital One Arena. I believe, Anthony, is he joining us from upstairs in the booth?
Yeah.
Am I on the lookout for Dave here?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk to Dave Johnson. He's upstairs in the broadcast booth. I'm downstairs in outside section 106, 107. Come say hi if you are headed to the arena. Dave, next here on the Team 980.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.